The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
A very good morning to you, Mr. Reich.
Bukhar Tov, Shavua Tov. Nice to catch up again this morning. But before we get into some of the heavier news, let's talk about some good news, and in particular about a new Israeli world swimming champion in the form of Anastasia Gorbenko. She has won so far 2 gold medals at the World Short Course Swimming Championships, which is taking place in Abu Dhabi at the moment. Her first gold medal was in the 50 meters breaststroke, which she won in an Israeli record time. And then on Sunday, yesterday, she went along to win the 100 meter individual medley final, and has now brought home 2 gold medals for South Africa, for Israel, the very, very first Israeli gold medals that have ever been won in a world swimming championship. And so look out for Anastasia Gorbenko, only 18 years old and already a world champion. And we're looking forward to more. Apparently there are still more events that she is due to participate in. And of course, awaiting her return home in particular, to celebrate the really fantastic news.
Anthony, it's nice that we're kicking off with good news for a change, but this being the way things are, there was a horrific terrorist attack once again last week that killed a young Israeli in a drive-by shooting. I believe the culprits have been apprehended in an operation over the weekend. Tell us a little bit more about this and also whether there's been a noticeable increase in terror attacks of late.
So the incident itself was a very, very a sad and unfortunate incident, indiscriminate, which means this wasn't particularly targeted at those people specifically, but they just happened to be, let's say, in the wrong place at the wrong time during that drive-by late on Thursday when Yehuda de Mentman was killed in the car that he was a passenger. 2 other people in the car were also killed. The car was traveling from Chomesh to Sheveh Shomron when the car was simply shot at. It just seemed like an opportunistic incident where a terrorist chose to target the car that was going by them. And unfortunately, Yehuda was killed in the process in a huge operation over the weekend, which was took place mostly in the areas of Nablus in Shechem, and also a few other Palestinian villages. The culprits who are considered to have been responsible for this attack were apprehended. There were also some quite heavy weapons that were seized in the process, 2 M16 rifles, as well as Carlo submachine guns were seen to be picked up in the process of this huge IDF operation. The culprits, the weaponry has now been handed over to the Shin Bet. They will do further questioning of the individuals concerned, some of whom seem to be already known to the Israeli authorities. And of course, a very, very sad incident indeed. When the funeral took place on Friday, it was indeed a very, very large funeral, but also a very sad one. A young man, only 25 years old, leaving behind a young baby, and of course, a grieving family and a grieving nation, because for every Israeli who gets caught up in these terror attacks and loses their lives, we grieve for them. There were subsequent attacks that took place over the weekend, a stabbing attack that took place around the Damascus Gate area of Jerusalem, and also an attack that took place in Hebron, not far from the Cave of the Patriarchs. So a number of different attacks have taken place since then. Fortunately, nobody seriously injured. But nonetheless, there is a noticeable, I would say, uptick in the number of terror attacks taking place. 8 attacks against Israelis have been carried out in the area of Judea and Samaria over the past month or so, and there are fears for another wave of terror in the near future. We understand that there was a meeting yesterday in Lebanon between Palestinian Islamic Jihad and Hamas, and we understand that they had struck an agreement yesterday that they would try to step up terror attacks against Israel, especially in the areas of Judea and Samaria and in Jerusalem. Of course, it comes with the full backing of Iran. These are two groups, and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and Hamas, who have full backing from Iran, both financially and in terms of weaponry. And ironically, the agreement that was struck yesterday seems not necessarily specifically to be targeted against Israel. This, we understand, is an attempt to try and somehow destabilize the Palestinian authority of Mahmoud Abbas, to try somehow to weaken his presidency of the Palestinian Authority, particularly because he has given specific instructions to his security forces to try to prevent lawlessness in the area of the Palestinian Authority area. And the Palestinians, Islamic Jihad and Hamas have decided to somehow destabilize things, or to do whatever they can to destabilize things. And in their words, can kill two birds with one stone. One being, of course, destabilizing the Palestinian Authority. The second, of course, being attacking Israelis, killing Israelis where they can. So, of course, our security authorities have certainly stepped things up. They're aware of all of the background to what's happening, and there will be specific attempts to try to prevent terror attacks from taking place in the future.
Yeah, these terror attacks, they just seem to carry on and on, and we really hope that, that something comes of it. I think we'll be chatting more about it during the week once there's more information to come out, whether these people that were arrested for this atrocity were in fact members of any terror organization's chances, considering the weaponry that was found, are very, very likely. Changing stream slightly, I believe there's a major winter storm heading for Israel. Now, us that always see Israel as the sunny, wonderful Mecca, an oasis of sorts, it's always weird to comprehend that winter can be quite cold. And in this particular instance, this is a major, major storm that's heading your way. Tell us a bit about the storm and what preparations are being made.
Well, a strong winter storm, which has been given a name, this is Storm Carmel. So we officially have a name for the storm, is due to bring heavy rains, wind, even possibly snow. We had expected the storm to hit land already earlier this morning. So far, no real sign of a big storm. We've had rain. The skies are very ominous, gray skies. There has been a slight wind that has blown up from the coastal area, but certainly not the storm, the major storm that we've been expecting, at least not yet. Quite a lot of preparations have been made, first of all, to try and secure, battering down the shutters, as it were, to try and secure everything that might cause damage. I've noticed that trees were even pruned, large trees, over the last couple of days in preparation for the storm, to try to prevent branches from flying around, and lots of work to try and prevent flooding in particular. So we're expecting a massive amount of rain, potentially as much as 100 to 150 millimeters over the next day or two. For Israeli standards, that's a lot of rain. Excuse me. The Haifa municipality announced that they'd increased their state of preparedness in anticipation of the storm. They're hoping to prevent flooding incidents, hoping that trees, that lampposts, other things that might collapse and cause harm can be avoided, that everything is as secure as possible. Winds are expected to be as much as 90 to 100 kilometers per hour. The sea is due to get rough, with some forecasts suggesting that waves in the Mediterranean may reach not only 4 to 6 meters, which is supposed to be what's likely, but also potentially waves that can be as high as 8 meters. And of course, we're hoping that the rain will be positive as well, will add to the amount of water that we have in the Kinneret and the other storage facilities. But the name that's been given to the storm, Storm Carmel, is interesting because, as we know, in the Caribbean area, for example, they are very common it's very common to have storms named. Tropical cyclones and storms generally do have names. In Israel, in the Mediterranean area, not so much. But apparently, a few Hebrew names are on the list for potential storms during this 2021-22 season. And I was fascinated to read some of the names that have already been developed. Irit, Joel, Lavi, Ora, and Raphael, in addition to Carmel. So what do you guys think about the names?
Fascinating. In closing, something that's very close to every South African Jew's heart is the fact that they couldn't travel this year because of COVID this December month. And the South African Chief Rabbi has been very critical of Israel's handling of the closing of its borders, particularly to Jews in the diaspora. Is there really a policy that discriminates against Jews in the diaspora?
There isn't. And you know, I was very, very disheartened to read the Chief Rabbi's comments about, you know, he used some quite strong language, moral injustice. He was very, very vocal about some of the events that have taken place, especially in recent times, to prevent Jews from traveling to Israel, Jews living in a diaspora. Moral disgrace, I think, was a term that was in the headlines attributed to Chief Rabbi Warren Goldstein. First of all, what I would like to say is that I'm aware of the fact that there have been some particular incidents where people have traveled to Israel, have got on the plane, have traveled here under rules that existed when they embarked their flights, and by the time they came to Israel, the rules changed and they were not allowed access and they were treated poorly and forced to be sent back after having got on the plane thinking that they've done everything that is required in order to fulfill the rules. And yet when they arrived, they found that that wasn't the case. There are stories about people who were forced to transgress Shabbat on their return flights out of no choice because of the handling by the Israeli authorities. That is clearly not acceptable, and a lot more thought and a little bit of empathy needs to be employed in dealing with particular cases as they arise. Now, the Israeli government can't get everything right. We are all currently dealing with what is essentially still something of an unknown situation, even though people might argue that we're already more than a year into this pandemic and we should know a little bit better and we should be handling it with a little bit more confidence. And, you know, we just should have a little bit more predictability. Unfortunately, things are very unpredictable. So I would challenge the Chief Rabbi when he makes claims that this might be something of a particular policy that is set to try to risk the relationship that exists between Jews and the diaspora and Jews in Israel. I think that most, if not all, Jews in Israel would say that's certainly not the case. I think the Israeli government would certainly take issue with that. There is no doubt that the way that things have been handled on the ground could be better, should be better, should be more thought through, should be a little bit more considerate of particular situations rather than what's been happening up until now. But this Very is true. All about health, and this is really all about trying to protect our medical facilities in particular, to try and protect our lives. And of course, protection of life is foremost in the Jewish religion.
And we're living through these really trying times. Anthony Reich, as always, thank you so much. I'll be chatting to you again soon.